Welcome to the International Broadcast Ministry of Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. Here at Touching Lives, our mission is to touch the lives of the lost and enrich the faith of the found. And now, here is pastor, author, and speaker, Dr. James Merritt.
So as we begin today, welcome those who are watching online, those who are here in the room. If you walk down the average street in America and you ask two very important questions, you get the following responses. If you were to walk down, just take an average street in America and ask the question, do you believe in heaven? 73 out of every 100 people in America would say they do. Now, if you were to tighten the screws a little bit and you were to ask this question, do you believe you're going to heaven? 6 out of 10 people would tell you that they are. But then if you tighten the screws a little bit more and you ask this question, well, how does one get to heaven? Answers would fly in different directions faster than a covey of quail. 50% of adults will say this: a person who is generally good or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. 63% of adults said, all it takes to go to heaven is faith. And it doesn't matter what kind of faith you have. Just as long as you are sincere in that faith, you'll get to heaven. The one that blew my mind, 40% of people said, even if you don't believe in God, you can go to heaven. I can't get my mind around that one. Okay, that's like saying I believe in Disney World, but there was never a Walt Disney. I mean, it's kind of really strange, but 40% of people say you don't even have to believe in God to go to heaven. So with all that as a backdrop, I want to call your attention to what I believe is by far and away the most controversial, politically incorrect, blood pressure raising, egregious statement that Jesus ever made in his entire ministry. And if you brought a copy of God's Word or get your iPad, iPhone, whatever you follow along, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. That's a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in the New Testament. John chapter 14. If you're with us for the first time, we're in a series that we're calling I Doubt It. And we're dealing with those doubts that keep people from believing in Christianity, if not God. And one of the greatest doubts people have, and one of the greatest things that we say, that people say, if that's what you believe, I'm out, is this belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's only one way to God. So let me give you the backstory of this statement. Jesus, John 14, had just finished telling the disciples something that really rocked their world. Now keep in mind, they had been with him for 3 years, 24/7, every day. They left their businesses, they left their family, they left their home, and for 3 years, they've been traveling with Jesus, morning, noon, and night. Yes. Jesus is about a week away from the cross, then the resurrection, and then the ascension, and he's going to leave. So he says to them something that left them so confused and so frustrated and frankly scared. He said, I'm about to leave you, and where I'm going, you can't go. But we've been with you for 3 years, I know. You've never left our side, I know. We want to go with you, you can't. Where I'm going, you can't go. So now they're frightened, they're confused, they're bewildered, they wonder, what have we done with our life for 3 years? So he's trying to explain to them what the situation is. So in John 14, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, what I've told you, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus said, look, I got a job to do and I can't do it here. So I'm leaving you. But I'm going to work. And here's what I'm going to be doing while I'm gone. I'm going to be preparing a place for you so that when your life is over, you can make sure and I will make sure you'll get to where I want you to go and you will be with me forever. Well, there was a disciple there named Thomas. We preached a message on him not too many weeks ago. called Doubting Thomas because he was always a doubter, always had a question. Well, Thomas steps up to the plate. Here's what he said. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Thomas didn't know it, but he just gave Jesus this opportunity to make this breathtaking, eye-opening, ear-splitting statement that drew a line in the dirt. My favorite verse in the Bible. The greatest verse to me in the Bible. My life verse. The verse I'm staking everything I am on, believing it with everything I have.
Yes.
Jesus said to him, I am the way,
that's right,
the truth,
that's right,
and the life.
Amen.
And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you're like me and you say, I believe that.
Yes.
I believe that's true. Then you're just going to get marked as being bigoted, intolerant, exclusive, insensitive, a religious moron, because it flies in the face of the vast majority of people around the world who still believe. Let me give you an example. If you go Google, how many religious beliefs are there in the world? Go Google that. There are 37,177 different religious beliefs in the world. 37,177. And more people are not only are saying this now, they're saying, oh, I know about all these religions, and it's a good thing, because here's what we're hearing now. They all basically are the same. They're all trying to get us to the same place. They're just going a different way. They're just kind of taking a different direction. But basically, they're all basically kind of the same. And if you don't believe that, all of a sudden, they say, you are so spiritually arrogant. You are so theologically narrow-minded. Because here's what most of the world will tell you about Jesus. They'll admit, well, I believe Jesus is one way to God. Some people even say, I believe Jesus is a good way to God. And then there are some people that will tip their hat and think they're doing us a favor, and they'll say, you know what? I believe Jesus is the best way to God. But what they won't listen to is, he is the only way to God. That's the line in the dirt. Of the almost 8 billion people on our planet, there are 1.9 billion Muslims, 1.16 billion Hindus, 206 million Buddhists, 2.4 billion Christians. What does that mean? Travel the world, talk to everybody you meet, and only 3 out of 10 people will say, I believe what you believe. I follow who you follow. I worship who you worship. 7 out of 10 people, whatever the reason, say, not me. Nope, don't buy it, don't believe it, don't want it, won't take it. I am not where you are. 7 out of 10 people. So you can kind of understand why they say something like this. How in the world can you people in the minority tell the rest of us in the majority that we're the ones that's wrong? There's only 3 out of 10 of you believe what you say you believe. 7 out of 10 of us say, no, we don't believe that. Who are you to tell us we're on the wrong road and you're on the right road? Well, let me tell you some good news. It's not actually us who's saying it. It's a majority of one who made that statement. One person made that bold, audacious, dogmatic, exclusive, in your face, uncompromising, unbending, unapologetic statement. Only one, and his name just happens to be Jesus.
Amen.
And he's the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, let me tell you what that means. I'm going to make this easy so everybody can understand it. If you know anything about the laws of logic, I was going to be a lawyer at one time, so I took logic and philosophy when I was in college because I wanted to be a lawyer, and I love it. Still to this day, I love philosophy. I love logic. Well, you know what the law of non-contradiction is, right? A and B cannot be. If A is one thing and B says another, they both can't be right. So let's just take this statement. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One of two things have to be true. He was right or he was wrong. He told the truth or he didn't. Doesn't matter why. Maybe he was deceived. Maybe he was crazy. Maybe he was mistaken. Maybe he didn't mean it in a nefarious way. Maybe there may be a good reason, but it doesn't matter. Either he told the truth or he didn't tell the truth. Now, I'm going to assume for just a moment he told the truth. I'm going to assume for a moment he was right. Here's what that means, so everybody can understand it. If what he said is true and if what he said was right, there is exactly a zero chance of anybody getting to God if they do not go through Jesus.
That is
zero.
That is correct.
You say, well, you mean there's a chance. There's not a chance.
Correct.
There's some chance. There's not some chance.
Right.
There's a little chance. There's not a little chance. There is no chance, not for the pastor, not for the pope, not for the priest, not for the professor. There is no chance you'll ever get to God unless you go through Jesus. So the sermon in a sentence is simply this. At the end of the day, there's only one way to God. At the end of the day, there's only one way to God. Now, assuming that's true, let's just assume for a moment that's true. I realize there are people watching me right now. You don't buy it. You don't believe it. That's okay. Just for a moment, assume it. If that's true, then we have to draw three conclusions, and some of these will make some of you very uncomfortable. And what Jesus said is true. Number one, we have to see that religious belief is not the way to heaven.
That is correct.
If what Jesus said is true, then religious belief is not the way to heaven. Because one of the consistent threads that runs through every religion in the world is, well, there's at least one way to God. But then beyond that, it's not that they say, it's not just the religion that gets you to God. The thinking is any religion will do. You're a good Buddhist, you'll go to heaven. You're a good Hindu, you'll go to heaven. You're a good Jew, you'll go to heaven. You're a good Muslim, you'll go to heaven. You're a good atheist, good agnostic for heaven. Yeah, you will go to heaven. And I'm not just making that up. Some of you may remember the commentator Bill O'Reilly, who used to be on Fox. And he was famous for talking about the no spin zone. You know, if you come into my place, we're not going to have any spin. Well, he spins it this way. Here's what he said. The most important thing I can say about religion is that it's a good thing for all of us to have. Now, listen to this. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Now, with all respect to Mr. O'Reilly, he doesn't even believe that. And I'm going to prove it to you. So I put Mr. O'Reilly in a car, and I put him on Interstate 85. And I say, Mr. O'Reilly, you can go as fast as you want to go. Just enjoy yourself. Now, he's tooling down the road at 100 miles an hour. And he gets pulled over. The cop comes and he says, why'd you pull me over? He says, well, I pulled you over for speeding. Well, I wasn't speeding. Well, yes, sir, you were. No, I wasn't speeding. Well, how fast were you going? I was going 100 miles an hour. So, yeah, you were speeding. He said, well, why would you say I'm speeding? He said, well, because the speed limit is 70 miles an hour. Now, what do you think would happen? Mr. O'Reilly said, I don't believe that. How do you think that's going to work out for Bill O'Reilly? He's going to jail.
That's right.
Because it doesn't matter what you believe. If you can sincerely believe it, it does not matter. And by the way, Mr. O'Reilly might have been onto something when he said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it. He might have been onto something if all religions basically said the same thing, but they don't. As a matter of fact, the next time somebody tells you, look, all religions are the same, they're all equally valid, doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it, I want you to remember to say, there's two things you need to tell that person. Number one, first of all, that's an insult to my religion. It's also an insult to your religion. For example, if somebody said to me, Nazism, socialism, and communism are exactly the same thing as democracy, I'd say, you know what? That's an insult to democracy. That's an insult to Nazism, socialism, communism. They are not the same thing. But even worse than that, it's an insult to Jesus.
That's right.
It's an insult to Jesus to say, but all religions are the thing. Let me tell you why. If all that is necessary to go to heaven, if all that is necessary to get to God is just be religious. Doesn't matter what religion you have, just be religious and be sincere in that religion. Then I just have one simple question. Please help me here.
All right.
How do you explain the death of Jesus on the cross? What kind of a father would put his son on a cross when it wasn't necessary? If all I've got to do is be religious, all I've got to do is believe something, all I've got to do is be sincere, why in the world would God allow His Son not just to die any old death, but the most horrific death you could imagine? Good Friday becomes Bad Friday. Good Friday becomes Cruel Friday. Matter of fact, the cross becomes, in effect, cosmic child abuse. What kind of a father would do that? By the very fact, as a matter of fact, that the cross is happening, that the cross did happen, that Jesus did die on the cross, that tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt, by the way, not to mention the resurrection. The cross tells me, well, religion can't be the way to God, because if religion were the way to God, He wouldn't have died. He would have been crucified. By the way, have you ever thought about this? Did you know the cross or the empty tomb has nothing to do with religion? Those are just historical facts. They have nothing to do with religion. But the point I'm making is, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter how sincere you believe it. I love the story. I think I've told you, but it's a great story. There was a man started coming to church, and he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. In fact, he'd never been to church. Somebody just invited him, and he thought it was kind of entertaining, so he started coming. He liked the pastor, and pastor and he got to know each other a little bit. And so, you know, this guy kept coming to church. And so the pastor was doing everything he could to build a bridge and try to win him to Christ. And so he found out this guy loved boxing. Well, there was a big heavyweight championship bout going on downtown. And so he went and bought two ringside seats at this fight and said to his buddy, he said, hey, we're going to go to the fight Friday night. I want you to go with me. He said, man, pastor, that's great. He said, can I bathe? He said, no, you've got to pay the ticket. I've already bought it. So they go down. They get their sitting at ringside, sitting right down there at the ring, you know, right in front. Fight's about to start. Well, just before they ring the bell, one of the boxers knelt down in the corner and bowed his head and made the sign of the cross, right, like this. Well, this guy, he didn't know what that was. He didn't know what Catholicism was or anything else. So he looked at the pastor and he said, hey, pastor, did you see what that guy did? He said, yeah. He said, what does that mean? And the pastor looked at him and said, it doesn't mean a thing if he can't box. Now, it doesn't matter how religious you are, how sincere you may be. If you're not on a one-way street called Jesus, you're on the wrong street. So if what Jesus said is true, first thing we automatically know, okay, now I know religious belief is not the way to heaven. Now, a lot of us don't have a real problem with that, but this is the next part, the next thing I'm going to tell you, this is where people really want to get off the train. Because if what Jesus said is true, then not only is religious belief not the way to heaven, we've got to see that righteous behavior is not the way to heaven. We got to understand that, you know what? Goodness won't get me to God, because the predominant view, there are two predominant views in the 21st century of how to get to God. One we just talked about, that's religion, where we said, okay, that won't work. Well, the other way is what we would call righteousness, because remember what half the people said when you asked them, hey, what does it take to get to heaven? You remember what they said? They said very simply, hey, got to be good enough, got to do your best. I mean, just ask people, how do you think people go to heaven? Here's what you'll hear almost without fail. Keep the commandments, do your best, never do terrible things, try to live a good life. I got to thinking the other day about the best-selling song of all time that Frank Sinatra did. You probably have heard it. The best-selling song Frank Sinatra ever did is called My Way. And you've heard that song, you know, I did it my way. There are so many people that think they go to heaven their way. I'm going to heaven my way. Matter of fact, I love to call it the Home Depot way of going to heaven. That's the way people think. You know, I'm not an expert on Home Depot, all right? So let me make something very, very plain, all right? I'm not an expert. When I walk into Home Depot, which is very rare, and I'm usually with Teresa when I do, I feel like I'm in a foreign country. I mean, really, okay? Me going to Home Depot is like Elon Musk going to a yard sale, okay? Doesn't fit, right? I don't fix anything. I break things. I'm good at breaking things, okay? She'll tell you. But Teresa is like the fixer. So the only time I ever go to Home Depot really is, you know, when Teresa needs to make a run to Home Depot. But it's always fascinating. Every time I go to Home Depot, I just look at the people that are in there. Y'all do this sometime. Because you know the people that go to Home Depot, right? You may not realize this. The only people that go to Home Depot are the people who want to do it themselves. They want to fix it themselves. They want to paint it themselves. They want to repair it themselves. Now, by the way, I'll tell you something else I've learned. They don't do it because they're noble or because they just want to kind of show how good they are, how much they can learn. They do it because they're cheap, okay? They're just cheap. And by the way, people that like to fix things, they don't need Home Depot. They need therapy. But here's my point. Everybody thinks salvation is a Home Depot deal. Hey, how do you get to heaven? Well, I got to do it my way. I've got to build my own highway. I've got to do it myself. I've got to be good enough. I've got to be nice enough. I've got to give enough. As a matter of fact, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the end of my life and live such a good life, I'm going to make God an offer he can't refuse. Let me tell you the problem with that. In fact, let me give you a great example of that. If you don't think I'm making this up. Many of you have heard the name Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world. Warren Buffett also happens to be one of the greatest philanthropists in the world. He's given away billions of dollars to charitable institutions and charitable organizations. One time a reporter asked him, they said, Mr. Buffett, why do you give all these billions of dollars away to charity? Here's what he said. He said, well, there's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. There's more than one way to get, this is a great way. In other words, Warren Buffett thinks my road to heaven's paved with dollars. If I give enough money to that organization, this organization, God will let me in. Now, let me tell you why this approach does not work, why it cannot work. First of all, if you're going to build your own road to God, you got to build a toll road because you got to pay for it. Number two, you'll run out of road long before you get to God because you'll never know if you're good enough for God.
That's right.
Thirdly, even if you think you are good enough for God or could be good enough for God, you'll never know if you're building enough good road. You may run out of road before you get there because nobody knows how much good is good enough. And by the way, what definition of good are you using? I've had so many people say, listen, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I believe I'm going to heaven. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I've lived a good life. And then I'll always ask this question. Well, how good do you have to be to get there? Where's the cutoff? Nobody can ever answer that because you don't know. You'll never know how much good is good enough. So you see, when Jesus said, I'm the highway to God, what he was trying to get us to understand is this, and I mean this literally. He said, look, your way is a toll road. My way is a freeway.
Amen.
And I mean that literally. It's a freeway.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to pay for it. It's not a toll road. It's already been built, already been paid for. You can get on it anytime you want to. You just take this road called Jesus, because that's what differentiates Christianity from every other religion in the world. Because go study every one of the religions. I told you, 37,000. Go study them. Here's what you'll find. They do have one thing in common. They are all built on some system of your righteous behavior. Every other religion, by the way, Christianity is not a religion, but every other religion in the world is a Home Depot religion.
Exactly.
So for example, one religion says you got five pillars of Islam. You've got the Ten Commandments of the Jews. You've got the spiritual meditation of the Buddhist. And so you've got all these people out there, and every day somebody uses a prayer wheel. Somebody goes on a pilgrimage. Somebody gives alms to the poor. Somebody says, I want to eat certain foods. Somebody performs a number of good deeds. Some people pray in a certain way. Some people say you just go through a cycle of reincarnation till you finally get it right. But it's always up to them. It's always on you. It's always on your shoulders. You're the one that's got to get yourself there. And then Jesus comes along and he says, let me just make this plain. Goodness is not the way to heaven.
That's right.
Kindness is not the way to heaven.
Amen.
Sweetness is not the way to heaven.
Amen.
Righteousness is not the way to heaven. He said, I'm the way to heaven.
Exactly.
And if he told the truth, that means number one, okay, then my religious belief is not going to get me to heaven, and my righteous behavior is not going to get me to heaven. But if what he said is true, then we come to the third part. That is, we must see that a relational bond is the only way to heaven. Because Jesus really puts the nail in the coffin when he says, in case you didn't understand what I just said, let me say it as plain as I know how to say it. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
There's no side door. There's no back door. There's only one front door. So if that's true, All roads don't lead to God because all roads don't go through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. If you're going any other way, you're going the wrong way. So to kind of help you put this in perspective, if you're doubting that Jesus is the only way, or you're really afraid to tell other people he's the only way, and you don't want people to think you're dogmatic, arrogant, intolerant, bigoted, narrow-minded, whatever, if that's where you are and you're having any doubt, well, maybe there's another way, I want you to think about four words. You might want to write these down, but I want you to think about four words, and you'll never, ever, 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 ever get on the wrong road again in this whole thing we're talking about today. And those four words are life, death, resurrection, eternity. Get those four words down. Life, death, resurrection, eternity. Now listen carefully. Only Jesus lived a perfect life.
Amen.
Only Jesus died a substitutionary death. He didn't die for himself, he died for us. Only Jesus beat death. Only Jesus died, was graveyard dead, came back from the dead, never to die again.
That's right.
And only Jesus,
yes,
on top of all of that,
yes,
didn't just claim to be God, but when people worshiped him, he took it. When people worshiped him, he accepted it. There's not a religious leader in the history of this world. There's not a religious belief anywhere in this world that meets all four of those criteria. Nobody except Jesus. No other Christian faith except the Christian faith. So nobody else can do for you what Jesus can do for you. Only Jesus can get you to the Father. Let me tell you what that means. That means if your home is on fire, you better call a firefighter, not a Boy Scout.
Right.
If you break a leg, you better call a doctor, not a plumber.
Right.
If your home is broken into, you better call a policeman, not a nurse. If you're drowning, you better call a lifeguard, not a truck driver. And if you are a sinful human being and you're trying to get to a holy, righteous God, you better call a Savior.
That's right.
Because he's the only one that can get you there.
Exactly.
Nobody else can get you there. I read a story about a group one time. They paid a lot of money. They were going on a backcountry wilderness exploration up in Canada. So they got to the camp at the edge of the woods, and they spent the morning preparing backpacks and supplies, and they were getting ready for this long journey. There was a problem. When the guide showed up that was to take them through this dangerous area, very dangerous through the mountains, when the guide showed up, he just had a little simple backpack with some snacks and some food and a change of clothes. That's all he had. And he didn't have a map. He didn't have a compass. He just a little backpack. So one member of the group was brave enough, and he pulled this guide aside and he said, hey, look, not trying to cause any trouble here, but we paid a lot of money to go on this trip. And this is a hard trip, and it's difficult terrain. And we know certain people have gotten lost and certain people have died, and we didn't pay all this money to get lost. And we didn't pay all this money to die. And he said, what's the problem? He said, well, you don't have a map, and you don't have a compass to get us through these mountains to safety. And that guy looked at him and he said, buddy, let me help you with something. He said, maps and compasses are not the way you get through those mountains. I'm the way you get through those mountains.
That's right.
You don't need to worry about maps.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about compasses.
Yes.
I know those mountains like the back of my hand. I've taken over 1,000 trips. I haven't lost anybody yet. I'm the way through those mountains. And this is what makes Jesus different from every other spiritual figure who ever lived. Because look, there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them out there. Here's what they'll tell you. One religious leader will say, hey, come to me and I will show you the way. And Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
And there are religious leaders out there, and they will tell you, hey, come to me. I'll tell you the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth.
Amen.
There are other religions out there. They'll tell you, hey, come to me and I'll give you life. And Jesus said, I'm the life.
Amen.
So, last story. Many of you probably haven't heard this name. You probably heard the story. You may not know the name. But I want to tell you the story of a German-born computer programmer. His name is Stefan Thomas. Stefan Thomas lives in San Francisco. In 2011, he made an animated video called What is Bitcoin? Now, in exchange for that video, he was given 7,000 Bitcoin. Now, at the time he was given that Bitcoin, all those Bitcoin, 7,000, was worth about $14,000, right? That's in 2011. Today, one Bitcoin is worth $24,000, meaning he has a worth right now of about $160 million. Because all this Bitcoin, $160 million. But it's worthless to him. Matter of fact, he may as well have monopoly money. So what happened? Well, you see, he took this treasure trove of Bitcoin and he locked it in a program called Iron Key. Has a name for a reason, Iron Key. You got to have the password to open Iron Key. He just got one problem. He lost the password. So he tried a password, and it didn't work. He tried a second password, and it didn't work. And he tried a third password, and it didn't work. He tried a fourth password, it didn't work. He tried a fifth password, didn't work. A sixth password, didn't work. Seventh password, didn't work. Eighth password, didn't work. And then this little bell goes off, ding, 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 ding. And Iron Key says, you got two more shots. And if you take your shot and you miss it, you'll never get in there. It will be lost forever. He has spent the last 12 years, including going to the FBI. Nobody, you're talking about somebody built a program. Nobody can get into Iron Key. You got to have the password.
Amen.
So you know what? He is so afraid he'll lock it in there forever. He just doesn't do anything because he doesn't know the password. And so many people went to bed last night, slept like a baby because they thought, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Because they think the password is religion or baptism or faith or church membership or kindness or goodness. And they're not going to heaven. I went to bed last night thinking about this message. I slept like a baby last night. And before I went to sleep, I said, Lord, just in case, I don't wake up on earth. I wake up. It will be in heaven. Because I know the password.
Exactly.
The password is Jesus.
Come on now.
Yeah. I am the way.
Yes, that's right.
The truth.
That's right.
The life.
Amen again.
No one comes to the Father
except
through me.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter whether you're a felon, a robber, a thief, an adulterer, a traitor, a drunkard, a drug addict, you will get to heaven if you go through me.
Amen.
Would you pray with me? with heads bowed and eyes closed. Those of you watching online, those of you in this room right now, would you just really for a moment just get serious? I want to ask you the question, the question. The question is not, do you think you're going to heaven, hope you're going to heaven, feel like you're going to heaven? You may say you know you're going to heaven. My question is, based on what? What are you basing that on? How do you think you get there? What's your password? By the way, you can say, well, my password is Jesus. What does that mean? Well, I believe in Jesus. You can believe in Jesus and not go to heaven. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. You can believe that and not go to heaven. Now, you've got to believe that to get ready to go to heaven, but you can believe that and not go. The question is, have you surrendered your life to that Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Lord? Trusted Him as your Savior? That's the question. And if you either haven't done that or you're not sure you have, I'll tell you what I would do. If I were in your shoes right now, if I were sitting where you're sitting, or if I were listening where you were listening, and I either realized, you know what, I've been on the wrong road the whole time, or, gosh, I don't know if I'm on the right road or not. You know what I'd be doing if I were you right now? I'd be saying something like this. I would be praying something like this. Lord Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody will come to You. Nobody will come to God unless they go through You. I believe that. You're the one that died for me. You're the one that came back from the grave. You're the one that's alive right now. And Lord Jesus, right now, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. I surrender my life to You as my Lord and my Savior. I trust You and You alone to forgive me of my sins. I love that the Bible addresses honoring fathers and mothers. And as a father myself, I can think of no gift more honoring than a gift from one of my children geared toward my own spiritual walk. With Father's Day fast approaching, I wanted you to consider giving the dads in your life my newest book on prayer, The God Who Hears. This book is based on the Apostle Paul's prison prayers and comes with a free downloadable 4-week Bible study guide. My friend, pastor and father, Greg Laurie, wrote the foreword, and it's available to you for a gift of any amount. I hope you'll equip the fathers in your life with a gift that has lifelong spiritual impact. Head to the website shown on the screen right now to purchase your Father's Day gift today, and may God bless you as you do.
Touching the lives of the lost and enriching the faith of the found. This is Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. This broadcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.